Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Orange County Library System, offering enriching programs and resources for seniors at 15 locations throughout the county, with hands-on workshops, expert-led seminars, and more. A complete list of programs is available at ocls.org/senior/events.
A Republican and a Democrat take one small step towards bridging the political divide. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. Central Florida Public Media and StoryCorps are bringing together strangers with differing political beliefs for grounded conversations. Republican Mary Connolly and Democrat Marlena Mutter are University of Central Florida students who met to close the gap in politics.
I just wouldn't tell anybody that I was conservative. I kind of got used to just, you know, being like kind of in the closet about it.
Definitely. It's like before you even get a chance to open your mouth, people like are filling in the gaps.
Taking one small step to bridge the political divide. That's ahead on The Wrap. The big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. A divided federal appeals court this week ruled that Florida can begin enforcing a 2024 law aimed at preventing children from having access to certain social media platforms, rejecting arguments that the measure violates the First Amendment. An appeals panel granted the state's request for a stay of a preliminary injunction that U.S. District Judge Mark Walker issued in June to block the law. The decision means the state can enforce the law while a legal battle continues to play out. The law prevents children under the age of 14 from opening accounts on certain platforms, which could include Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and YouTube. Parents would have to give consent for 14 and 15-year-olds to have accounts on the platforms. The University of Central Florida is laying off nearly all the employees of its Florida Solar Energy Center. UCF says the layoffs of over 50 people were triggered by shifting federal priorities and declining outside funds, as Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durig explains.
The Florida legislature created FSEC in 1975 as the state's designated energy research institute. Now, in a written statement, UCF says declines in outside funding and shifting federal priorities mean the center is, quote, no longer financially sustainable in its current form. Heaven Campbell with Solar United Neighbors says FSEC also does valuable youth engagement work, like overseeing a solar energy apprenticeship program. With FSEC making huge staffing cuts, Campbell says she's concerned about the future of that work.
We're devastated. This is terrible news for our state. This is something that has such long-term ripple effect. This is just such an institution here, and it's been around for so long. And it's like, how do you rebuild that?
UCF says 57 FSEC employees were affected by the layoffs, and 7 employees remain. Molly Durig, Central Florida Public Media.
After Florida got pummeled last year, the 2025 hurricane season is poised to end without any storms making landfall in the state. The 2025 season has included 13 named storms, just meeting predictions of 13 to 19 storms. Also, the season has had 5 hurricanes, with 4 reaching Category 3 or higher. Based on National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration standards, 2025 was considered slightly above normal season because of a formula that takes into account the strength and duration of storms. National Weather Service meteorologist Mark Wohl partially attributes the season's outcome to luck, but he says several conditions also work to give Florida and the U.S. mainland a hurricane-free season. Wohl doesn't see the quiet 2025 season as a trend.
We don't want to become complacent just because we had a beneficial hurricane season from a United States perspective has absolutely no bearing whatsoever on what next season is going to be like.
A season free of hurricanes isn't as unique as it may seem, as over the past 75 years, 1 in 5 seasons have gone without a U.S. landfall. Despite the lack of action in the U.S., the 2025 season will be remembered for the giant, deadly Hurricane Melissa, a Category 5 storm that crashed into Jamaica on October 28th before causing damage in Cuba and the Bahamas. At least 102 people died. Governor Ron DeSantis has a wish list for the legislature when it comes to protecting puppies, and that includes cracking down on puppy mills and dog abuse. Central Florida Public Media's Danielle Pryor explains the governor has laid out what he wants to see when it comes to legislation for the next session that starts in January.
DeSantis wants to see legislation that would put the state in charge of developing best practices for breeders and licensing them. He also wants a statewide hotline for people to report breeder abuse and increase penalties for people who abuse animals in front of minors. A bill that would have cut down on puppy mills and backyard breeders failed last session, but over 70 local governments already banned the retail sale of dogs.
That was Danielle Pryor reporting. NASA has decided that Boeing's next Starliner spacecraft mission to the International Space Station will carry no crew. The decision comes more than a year after a crewed test flight returned without its passengers. Last June, NASA's Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams were able to successfully launch and dock to the station in Starliner, but technical issues forced Boeing to return the vehicle without a crew in September. Wilmore and Williams spent 9 months in space and got a ride back home in SpaceX's Crew Dragon. After months of evaluation, NASA and Boeing agreed to slash their astronaut transport contract from 6 to 4 missions, and the next Starliner flight will be without a crew. Instead, it will carry cargo and test new systems added to the vehicle after the crewed mishap last year. In 2014, NASA awarded commercial crew contracts to both Boeing and SpaceX. So far, SpaceX has launched 11 total astronaut missions for NASA, with another set to launch early next year. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. The Wrap, Inbox Edition, is your Wednesday digest of what matters most in Central Florida. The weekly newsletter delivers the top headlines, original reporting, and a handy guide to Central Florida public media events, all presented in a format that's quick and easy to read. It's the perfect companion to this podcast. Sign up at cfpublic.org/thewrap. Central Florida Public Media and StoryCorps are bringing together strangers with differing political beliefs for guided conversations. We hear from 20-year-old Republican Mary Connolly.
I just wouldn't tell anybody that I was conservative. I kind of got used to just, you know, being like kind of in the closet about it.
And 22-year-old Democrat Marlena Mutter.
Definitely. It's like before you even get a chance to open your mouth, people like are filling in the gaps.
The University of Central Florida students and strangers met for a conversation to help bridge their political divide. It takes off as they connect over the guiding influence of their mothers.
Definitely my mother is the person who has the most influence in my life, I'd say. She has taught me a lot since I was born. Definitely, you know, how to listen, how to be empathetic, and how to love. I think knowing how to love is important in every context of life, outside of interpersonal relationships. And just seeing my mom and, you know, how she loves me and our relationship, it really taught me how to spread that love to other people as well.
Yeah, I definitely feel the same way about my mom as well. She's always been so powerful and has always set an example for me that it's like, if there's limitations in front of you, then just treat them as if they don't exist and continue, carry on as if, you know, you had all the power in the world, even if sometimes you don't. Could you briefly describe in your own words your personal political values?
I think that, you know, I can't put a lot of them into words, but if I had to, I would definitely say my personal political values are grounded in family, faith, and tradition. I have a lot of stories. I used to live in New Hampshire, and obviously a more liberal state. Mm-hmm, so
definitely,
I definitely wasn't used to vocally expressing my beliefs. Mm. And when people found out that I was conservative, they would make a lot of assumptions based on that. I just wouldn't tell anybody that I was conservative. I kind of got used to just, you know, being like kind of in the closet about it. And also after the election, I also had a lot of people make assumptions, especially as a woman. I was actually tabling like with the college Republicans a few days after the election. I remember like a girl coming up to me. She's like, how could you do this? Like, mm-hmm. You're a woman. Why?
Yeah, definitely. It's like before you even get a chance to open your mouth, people are filling in the gaps. You know, it's kind of sad to see that like frustration that they feel towards these like other people redirected towards you when, you know, they don't really know what you believe ultimately. I'm definitely very pro-choice. I've read so many horror stories of other women's ectopic pregnancies. So how it happened was I kind of had like a crappy boyfriend at the time, and like, you know, he told me he had a vasectomy, but he lied, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
It happened, and I remember the first day I like took the pregnancy test, it was actually the night after my senior prom, and I was just in my bathroom and I was like, I'm not going to sit here and cry about this. I'm going to go get a job and I'm going to order a Plan C online and do what I have to do, because I had just graduated high school. I was about to start college. I was like, I'm not in a place to like have a child right now. While I was waiting for it to come in the mail, I started to get this pain in my like uterus. And then a couple days pass and it's still there, and I start coming like in and out of consciousness with the amount of blood loss I was having. And I was like, this is not normal. And so I drove myself to the ER, even though I could like barely feel my leg at the time. And I get there, and like pretty much right when I get there, they're like, okay, yeah, the pregnancy is ectopic. Ultimately, an ectopic pregnancy is non-viable. There's no way to make an ectopic pregnancy viable. It will die, and it's just a matter of if it's going to pass without harming the mother or if it's going to pass and take a chunk of the mother's uterus with it. And I got very lucky in that there was no like major complications. And once I realized that if the abortion ban in Florida passes, that if when I was in that ER room, they did need to like remove a portion of my uterus with the fertilized egg on it, that would not, they wouldn't be allowed to do that. And I would be forced to wait until I was like on the brink of like septic shock, basically.
Yeah, that must have been such a scary thing to go through. And I'm sorry that you had that experience. I can imagine how, you know, traumatizing it must have been. And I am pro-life. I go to the March for Life every year. And definitely just hearing a story like yours, it definitely expanded my understanding of pro-choice and, you know, why people believe what they do. Because I've met a lot of pro-choice people, like, especially when I was younger. Mm-hmm. It's like they were just a little more like, you know, I guess black and white about it.
It's so delicate of a subject, and there's so many people's like lives and mental well-beings on the line that it's truly like a scalpel precision is needed to like delve into this issue.
Yeah, I think, I guess, you know, it's just that it comes back to my Catholic faith. I think like the core of being pro-life is being supportive of the mother and what she's going through. Yeah. Kind of just walking with her.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the name.
Yeah. It's like being pro-life for both lives.
Yeah, I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah.
What made you want to do this interview today?
I think a lot of us live in an echo chamber. Most of the views that we hear are similar to our own. And I kind of just wanted to learn more from someone who may have different beliefs and ideologies from me and kind of just learn how they got there and their life story. And I think there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's like, I feel like every time I tell someone my story, I'm always met with like way more empathy than I'm expecting. And so doing things like this, it just like, it helps calm me down knowing that there are people who care and who do want to listen. And it's somewhat selfish in that way. But also, yeah, like you said, just exposing people kindly and empathetically to opposing beliefs.
That conversation was produced by Kayla Kissel. To hear more One Small Step conversations, visit cfpublic.org. That's it for The Wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director Latoya Dennis. Script editing this week from Nicole Darden-Creston. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.